Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 35, Episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
For June 8th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Sweet Jack O'Brien.
Stop, stop, stop.
Zeitgeist never seemed so good.
So daily, so daily, so daily.
All right. That a.k.a. was courtesy of at JustTroOlean. Thank you, JustTroOlean. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Ain't no Miles loves me better than you. Makes me happy. Makes me feel this gray. Ain't no Miles hugs me better than you.
Thank you so much for that, Chaka Khan. Inspired, a.k.a. to Case in Your Face. On Twitter, I see you out there. You've hit me with you. And, yeah, shout-outs to you, because I love Chaka Khan. And I was actually just listening to Chaka Khan earlier. And, you know, that's what makes me know that everything is going to be okay in Singapore with this North Korea summit.
Mm-hmm.
Just based
off
of that. That's a sign.
That's a sign. The universe is aligning for us.
Mm-hmm.
We are thrilled to be joined for our second two-guest, third-seat appearance. We have the hilarious stand-up comedian, Caitlin Gill, and her adorable friend, Major Margaret Hotlips Houlihan.
Yes, Major Margaret, that you heard give me a moment ago.
She, we were both
pretty
very
quiet,
confused.
But we were singing, so
yeah.
She was... Wait, what honor do I hold?
This is the second time that we've had two guests co-host with us, you and Major
got
Margaret.
It. Okay, yes, my yes, I am joined by an associate.
Yeah.
Rarely does she part my side, so I finally decided to drag her along.
How would you describe your relationship to this Major Margaret Hotlips Houlihan? For people who don't even know
what
we're talking about.
I mean, codependent is a strong word, and I don't know why you came out the gate with that. I'm just kidding. My dog is the best thing I've ever done for my mental health. I happen to get a very sweet, adorable, good dog. I think my dog is the best dog because every dog owner is supposed to feel that way about their dog.
Yes,
so I do.
She chirped in a little bit during the AKAs.
During the song. She was concerned for our well-being.
Yes.
She's like a little coyote.
She's a stunner. She does look like a tiny coyote. We'd call her the Toyote. She also looks like a shrink-ray German Shepherd. So just picture what should be a 120-pound dog, only 12 pounds.
Yes.
I'm distracted. Really good for me.
I love it.
She's a wonderful dog. You can follow her at @Major_Houlihan on Instagram if you're really curious about this dog I'm talking about.
Okay, wow. Well, then.
It's my sweet lady that updates those pictures because my phone is broken, which is what I say to mean that I am bad at Instagram.
All right.
Caitlin, we'll make sure to send that out at the end of the show, too.
Yes, please.
We'll put it in the footnote.
She could use the bump, honestly. She doesn't get the social media love that she deserves, and it's a harmless follow.
What's
It'll
her,
only make your feed
what's her follower to following ratio?
Well, excellent, because I believe she follows one account and it's a dog.
Amazing. Okay, good.
Or it's the foundation we got her from, Lang Foundation, which I highly recommend to all residents of Los Angeles. What were you going to say, Mom?
I was going to ask you, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, in the past few days, I've looked up predominantly two topics, suicide and barbecue. Anyone else living high on the hog, so to speak? After the passing of Anthony Bourdain, who'd been a sort of fixture in my life in more ways than I had realized, I just thought I should do some good hard thinking about the way that my own brain runs around with thoughts of not being here anymore. Because I think it's normal, and most people who experience the human condition have thought about not.
Right.
So yeah, I just wanted to give myself a little thorough check-in.
Yeah.
And make sure that that speed train that my anxiety knows how to take to a dark place is not a ticket I'm punching on the regular.
Right.
Yeah. Not to presume that I know anything about what happened. I don't. I don't think we know anything about the why, but I projected my own shit onto the feelings that I was having and did a lot of reading that should alarm anyone who was looking at my Google history.
Well, what if there's any positive to take in it, I think some people are, you know, using this as a reminder to check in on stuff like this, on issues of mental health.
Oh, he was really good at making you look at how you're living your life and if you wanted to do it different. You know, you took a lot of vacations from your TV being like, man, I wish I could do some of that. So it's a good guy. It's the reason that you check in. It's good.
Yeah.
And what about barbecue, though?
Barbecue, I barbecued yesterday. I slow smoked some chicken and a rack of ribs for like 9-ish hours, and they were perfect. But smoking chicken is something I wanted to read a little bit more about, so I read a lot about barbecue. I have a nice grill that has a little sidecar for indirect heat. So
like a little Traeger kind of setup?
Yeah, yes, it was very nice. I was quite pleased. Quite pleased with my results. So I did
Do you have a Traeger?
No, I don't think so. It's a Weber, but it has one side's propane, but the other side's charcoal.
Oh, gotcha.
I didn't know what that was, but I'm supposed to know about barbecue, so
Well, no, it's funny because as I was watching TV like late on Friday, there was a Traeger infomercial that I that tricked me into thinking it was a show about barbecue, and I was like, and then it was like, with this Traeger, I was also inebriated, so it took a while for me to register it was an infomercial. So, you know, I thought, again, maybe another coincidence and another sign that the North Korea summit will go down in history as one of the greatest moments of peace ever.
Yes, almost definitely. You are really looking for that silver lining.
It's just,
for that,
I mean, it's so close.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
We're on the verge of potentially nothing.
Yeah,
but,
probably nothing. Yeah,
oh, it's probably nothing, guys.
It's going to be fine.
We're all fine.
Any tips about smoking chicken? Any, like, did you use a specific
slow and
type
low,
of...
baby. Try to keep it at about 250 for as long as you can. Lower if you can go longer, but I couldn't. So good. It was really good. I use a citrus marinade. No family secrets here. Three lemons, three limes, one orange. Big handful of cilantro, three cloves of garlic, lots of cumin, chili powder, tiny pinch of oregano if you want, and whatever spices float your boat in the adobo family, and then throw that in a bag, but only like 45 minutes because citrus cooks chicken, and then grill it. High heat if you're in a hurry, low heat if you can. It's good with a char, good with smoke.
Boom.
You will not, if
and that's
40
second recipes. Right.
That marinade, in any occasion, it is a surefire. You cannot ruin that, and it is so cheap. It is cheaper than any bottled stuff you try to buy.
That's
I was
true.
Hoping you'd give us some detail, but thanks, Caitlin.
Oh, sorry. I know. I'm pretty shy about my secrets when it comes to cooking.
Before we ask you what you've been searching and your over-under, we like to tell our listeners what we're going to be talking about. We're going to take a trip to Messiness Corner, check in with Michael Avenatti, because he has a new plane in his targets, is how we'll put it.
Interesting.
We are going to check in with IHOB. Because they announced what that B stands for, and Wendy's had something to say about it. We're going to talk about how liberals suck at the culture wars at times. We're going to talk about Trump's G7 and the soon-to-happen meeting in Singapore that has the world teetering on the brink of apocalypse.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
Everything's fine, guys.
Yeah, everything's good. It's all good.
We're going to talk about a Supreme Court decision that sucks. We're going to talk about the just obsession with public pooping that overtaken the English-speaking world. We're going to talk about Kanye's two great cultural contributions that happened this weekend, all of that and presumably more. But first up, we like to ask our guest, Caitlin, what is something you think is overrated?
I think that scented garbage bags can fuck right off.
Ooh. Yes.
Interesting
thank you.
Take.
I grabbed a box. They were right next to the regular garbage bags that I always reach for. I thought, hey, what the heck? And it just smells like Febreze made an onion scent. Right. Onion and linen is what greets me every time I open the can at this point. Disappointed. Don't think you need it. I say down.
I don't like them either because sometimes I use a garbage bag as luggage for clothing. And when you be putting your clothes in there.
I've lived there. I know.
I'm living there right now. But yeah, you sometimes, when it was scented garbage bags, it can impart just like that really whack Febreze smell on the stuff.
If you're
carrying a lot of food or something in a garbage bag, like I do, like what? A guy who trolls dumpsters. Look, don't worry about me. Don't mind my own trout.
Jesus,
but the thing
Miles.
Is, I like a neutral scented bag because sometimes the bag is more than just for your garbage.
Yes, absolutely.
That's how I look at it.
Absolutely. I've lived that clothes in a garbage bag life, and you think maybe this is both Febreze and a garbage bag. I have made two purchases in one, and it is not.
Right.
Even straight out the box, it's like cardboard fiber Febreze set. It's not good. They are not good. I say that they are overrated.
What is something you think is underrated?
Baking soda.
All
immediately
right.
related. Look, sometimes it's easier to make them partners.
Right.
I use baking soda all over. Look, you don't have to go as nuts as I did. Maybe you don't need to add a Tani to make an excellent face wash. Maybe you don't need to wash your hair with it like I do. All of that is fine. I, however, do. There is some use for your in your life for baking soda that you have not yet discovered. Does your garbage reek? Just dump some baking soda in
Boom.
It. You got it at the dollar store. You can afford the 10 cents worth to not have your garbage can smell like onion and lint.
Aside from a deodorizer, what's the most shocking use that you found for baking soda?
Shampoo.
Baking soda,
I use a little tiny pile, little tiny pyramid in my hand, and then I get that a little bit
the
wet.
The scientific measurement.
Yes.
So make a
tiny pyramid
upon your palm.
Use as much as you want.
Okay.
And then I add a little water until it's paste, just a little water, because otherwise it'll just pour right in your hand.
Uh-huh.
And then I rub that paste in my hair. And then my hair does interesting things and is not a limp, lifeless mass on the top of my head.
It gives it life.
Yes. I also mix it with honey. I do like two parts honey, one part baking soda, so it's pretty abrasive. You can use less or more. It's like a nice coarse face wash, and honey is an antimicrobial good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but it is good. Somebody who does know about honey could be like, she's right. She just used dumb words.
Yeah. I believe you.
It's really good.
Because your skin looks great and your
Thanks.
Hair's shiny.
Thanks.
So.
Yeah.
And I am barely maintaining. So thank you.
Yeah.
Now,
and I'm using a garbage bag
yes.
as luggage.
This may be the first time I've noticed your hair because it's the first time you've brought up your hair, but Caitlin's hair looks great, you guys. So.
I'm pretty pleased. I got it by asking someone else how her hair was looking so excellent. She was
baking soda.
And
wow.
She was right. Thank you, Katie Compa.
Thank you, Army Hammer.
Mixing it with shampoo or just on its own?
On its own.
It is what it does.
Okay.
Yeah,
fuck you, shampoo.
Yeah.
Also overrated. But I went for the I went in on garbage bags instead.
Yes. What is a myth?
You can't teach old dogs new trick. Yes, you can. You can teach an old dog new
Literally
tricks.
Literally old dogs new tricks or
old
dogs.
People? So I went to the dollar store and I bought a bunch of stuff and hacked it into a tiny obstacle course for my dog. It's too hot to walk her on pavement and she gets bored. So I made a little, one of those dog agility courses.
Uh-huh.
She has some things to weave through
some
things to climb on and stuff, and I'm working on it. And where I share a yard with another dog who got curious and started just kind of learning by example. Bo Jackson's got like some years on Major and he's like picking it up. And Major's too. I stopped trying a couple, like 8 months ago. I'd really worked on her with a ton of tricks since I'd gotten her.
Right.
But I just sort of went, now I just do that routine of tricks. And so I'm trying to get back on of teaching her new things. And a 2-year-old dog can learn. And apparently a 5 to 7-year-old-ish dog can also learn.
Now you, how can you go to the 99-cent store and then create all the obstacles you need for a DIY obstacle course?
Buy pool noodles. Cut them into thirds, put a spike in the ground, stick that third of a pool noodle on it. Boom, you have something for
That's
a
like
dog
a
to run around.
Course.
Yes.
Okay.
Glue a lot of cardboard together until it becomes kind of a teeter-totter and or a balance beam. You just look up some shit.
Nice.
It's real dumb.
All right, guys, let's get into Messiness Corner.
Mm-hmm.
Messy.
Where we commend the people who were just the messiest bitches
just
this weekend.
Messy, messy, messy.
So Michael Avenatti started tweeting in response to a take that Rudy Giuliani had last week. And actually, I think we have a clip of Giuliani talking about pornography.
And Stormy Daniels,
and
just his general take on, what it is to be a woman. Of
yeah. Oh, great. Cool. I can't wait to hear that from Rudy Giuliani.
Stormy Daniels? So I respect all human beings. I even have to respect, criminals. But I'm sorry, I don't respect a porn star the way I respect a career woman or a woman of substance or a woman who has great respect for herself as a woman and around as a person and isn't going to sell her body for sexual exploitation.
You have to respect on this stage every woman.
Yes, I respect porn stars. Don't you respect porn stars? Or do you think that porn stars desecrate women? Do you think that porn stars don't respect women and therefore sell their bodies?
What?
I don't know.
What a bonkers maniac.
Yeah.
First of all, just
like
on that
present
first clip.
And past, right?
I think it was...
That was all from the same thing, but it was two different mics picking him up. He was at some conference in Tel Aviv. And that was like the woman who was running the panel being like very clearly like, where the fuck is this going? Please respect women. He's like, I respect, well, don't you?
Well, yeah.
Oh, you were listening to what I just said. That was disrespectful. No. Going forward.
Them. Yeah. Oh, so that was the same?
Like, that was in the same that.
Wow. Yeah, the first clip was clearly from before they had to cut the mic that he was holding inside his mouth.
Yeah. It was one of those like weird like baby microphones that has like the weird suspended like coil in it that sounds like an echo.
So anyways, Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' lawyer, someone's lawyer, I guess, has taken issue with that, hasn't he, Miles?
Basically using this weird, this tired-ass argument that because she's in adult films that she has no credibility as a witness. Okay, cool. I guess you'll do anything to try and obscure the facts around this particular case. So yeah, Michael Avenatti, we know him to be Mr. Receipt Puller and to get fucking as messy as possible. So on Saturday, he tweets out, quote, "I want to test Mr. Giuliani's claims of being adamantly against pornography and having no use for adult film stars. If anyone can provide me with any evidence of him voluntarily viewing pornography, I will protect you as a source and publish it. Let's prove the hypocrisy." And he's still trying to make that hashtag basta happen. My guy, that's not going to happen. That you're also doing the fetch thing like Trump did with Spygate. Yo, let that thing die.
Wait, so, what is that? I'm not even familiar with hashtag basta.
That's like just his, you
that's
know.
That's how successful it has been.
Yeah, it's
It's new burger pasta.
That's what the B in IHOP stands for, is pasta. But so then the next day he tweets out, "The sheer power of the internet and Twitter never ceases to amaze me," with an ellipsis. Then later
Giuliani's squirming in his seat a little bit.
Then later that day he tweets a picture of like a jet like with like a locked on target, like as if it's like a fighter pilot locking on to its like target. And then he tweets out, "This week promises to be very interesting. Might want to follow my Insta handle." And then this morning, finally, he tweets, "Mr. Giuliani, my client deserves an apology for your sexist, disgusting comments about her and women in general. I strongly suggest you provide one. Are you really taking the position that you have not viewed porn in the last year? Ever hear of something called an IP address?"
Damn.
So.
Bum, bum, bum.
This is where we are. We're going to have to learn about what Rudy Giuliani likes to get his jollies to. Right. On the internet, and
that last tweet must have been especially troubling for him because he definitely has not heard of something called an IP address.
He's
Googling that shit immediately, or probably like binging it or whatever Rudy Giuliani uses as a search engine.
No, an assistant reads this out loud to him.
Yes, exactly.
An assistant. He assistanted it.
He's like, intellectual property address. I mean, that's all he'd know.
This whole thing, like. Well, what horrible thing porn stars have done. Like, what are you, it's a really hard job. Like, there's very few people who are actually qualified physically, mentally, or emotionally to capture visual images of humans having copulatory sex together. It's hard. The people that do it are important to all of us. Obviously, we all have IP addresses. We're all watching weird shit. It's very important that we all, it's just so dumb. It's so dumb, this idea that this is not a professional person or a strong person or a capable person.
Right.
This is a person capable of doing something that very few people are capable of. In my opinion, this is obviously not a person who lies to you. She has been very honest.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What's just a tired take, like, you know, that somehow that's like she's less of a human being because this like puritanical view of sex. Like,
and so diminishing. It's the evil thing, a layer beyond that, with Rudy is the one who gets to tell us what is moral.
Right.
He gets to decide if what we have done, what we have watched, what we consume is good or not. Of course he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's a babbling sack of giblets with dementia. Right. Why shouldn't he be able to tell me what's a good choice?
Right.
Garbage human.
Do we have any, like, knowing all of this about Mr. Giuliani, America's mayor, do we have any ideas about what his pornography
is? It's probably just a bunch of black guys getting stopped and frisked. It's like, he's like, yeah, rough him up. Yeah. I don't know. I don't even want to know, and I don't care. And it's so fucking messy that we don't need it. And like, Jesus Christ.
I am so angry that I want to know.
Yeah, I do
too. Me too. And yeah. I say it, like, again, I'm like, I don't want to know. But when it comes out, I'm going to look and I'm going to and then act like this is disgusting.
Rudy, call his bluff. He doesn't have anything on you. There's no such thing as an IP address. That's just some shit he made up.
That's
to
some
try
Russia
and scare
collusion
you.
Shit.
Yeah, don't worry about it, man. Just, continue.
Just
come
tell
out
us
stronger.
What porn you watch. Yeah. Everyone.
Get ahead
just
of it.
Tell us what porn you watch.
Right, right. Because it's probably going to be vanilla anyway.
It frustrates me so much that some of our deepest shame is about stuff that literally everyone with a pulse does.
Right.
We're going to talk about pooping later. We're already talking about coming in whatever way you come. Everybody does.
Right.
Everything alive. It should just be, like, I guess mutual assured destruction doesn't work. I guess that's the lesson. Because we're all staring each other down with the same weapons and we still are, it's at the same Cold War. I was pleased with the way that analogy came together. I walked in with no plan and I walked out feeling like an envelope that got sealed to just use another one.
Like Michael Corleone. You guys... So we want to talk about our runner-up real quick in the messiness category, and that goes to Wendy's and whoever runs Wendy's Twitter, because IHOP came out and announced that they are temporarily going to go by IHOB, where the B they revealed stands for burgers.
Drum roll,
everybody was like, oh, well, clearly breakfast, you're just trying to broaden it. No, it's burgers, the thing that you would never buy at an IHOP.
Yeah.
An already crowded market.
Like you can't get a burger anywhere fucking else. And I don't know, aside from them being like, our new steak burgers, that doesn't make me be like, oh, well, shit, now I'm going to forego an actual burger place that I like to go to IHOP and sit down at IHOP.
Yeah.
It's not like I get it. You know, they're suffering because they just have, they're trying to recapture a piece of the lunch and dinner market. But just your breakfast, you know what I mean? Like, and you live by the pancake, you die by it.
Yeah, this is an example of supremely effective viral marketing. Like, they definitely got everybody's attention by being like, we're changing it to B and get ready, where it's just backing up a product that nobody wants.
Right.
And that, like, is actually advertising how bad you are at your job, in effect, because, or like, how little you know about what your customers want from you.
It is... perfectly viral in that no effort was made.
Right.
It was just like changing one word in an obvious non-pun and then not changing the iconic icon at all. You just, you didn't change font, no colors, no new art, nothing, nothing. You just released, you flipped the P and you put it out like it was a big deal.
Right.
That's terrible evil genius.
That's
Gordon Gekko at work here.
So anyways, we want to commend Wendy's Twitter account because somebody was like, oh, Wendy's, they're coming for you. And Wendy said, not really afraid of the burgers from a place that decided pancakes were too hard. So burn.
Ooh, so shots fired.
You've been burned. And
I like how the way they announced it was like their bloods, basically. Like everything was be like, the possibilities, or like,
oh,
be
God.
Patient.
Oh, they did that?
Like, dear internet, we appreciate your patience. I'm like, okay. Okay, IHOP.
That is some blood shit. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, normally this would seize, but hey, you know, might as well just, it's a B world we live in now.
For real.
IHOB, way to go.
# Bozda.
Will any of you try a steak burger at IHOB?
IHOB is the only establishment with a security guard in my neighborhood. I'm good on IHOB. I don't know why it's such a wild spot.
It's because everyone goes there drunk as fuck after the club's let out because it's open.
That's true.
Mother's Day brunch. There's a dude standing outside ready to taste.
Well, Mother's Day brunch,
crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up with my IHOP. But no, I have genuinely no curiosity about this marketing campaign.
People come there drunk after. People come there drunk after Mother's Day breakfast. We've all been there.
I was on Instagram. I was scrolling and an ad for a munchable chocolate product appeared. And the ad was just a lady eating it. And I instantly liked the ad because the lady was Liz Winstead. Mm-hmm. And if every ad Instagram gave me was just Liz Winstead eating chocolate. It could only be ads. I would still open the app and just scroll through pictures of one of my favorite comedians and people eating chocolate. So ads have worked on me. I'm not saying they haven't. I'm just saying the IHOP ad did.
The IHOP, probably not.
Try
definitely
harder.
No Crips. No Crips are going to go.
Right.
Thanks to this campaign. So you played yourself, IHOP.
Try harder or don't try harder.
Also, IHOP. Somebody, really, I mean, the best they could do was be like, okay, we really need to get this like lunch and dinner market. And they go, all right, burgers?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
That's honestly, what are they going to add?
Yeah.
There's nothing. This is not a rock the boat menu.
Someone is going to get fired when they go, yo, you played us, Eric. The beat did not work. Everyone's making fun of us. Wendy's just owned us.
I've traveled recently. This is the bubble talking. People are going to go to IHOP and be like, yeah, burgers.
Right.
Or at like, you know, noon 30 when grandma wants breakfast. Well, if we take her to IHOP.
Right.
IHOP. Get a burger. Get the burger.
It's going to work. There are places where this will be an incredibly effective.
They've had burgers on their menu since, I think, like the 50s.
Oh, yeah. They've always had burgers.
Since like the beginning. So, yeah.
Yeah. They changed nothing. Again, this is brilliantly viral. They flipped a letter, didn't change it. And they just put like a new box around part of the menu with like stars.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Way to go, honestly.
Well done.
Let's hope. We'll see what those
polish that turd.
Those third quarter earnings look like.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and I just wanted to start out by talking about the fact that liberals are bad at these culture wars that we are in the midst of. So Shots fired, Robert De Niro, last night at the Tony Awards.
Oh,
I think we have an audio clip of this.
I'm going to say one thing. Fuck Trump.
Elaborate. Right? Say more. He's flexing right now, doing the like strong arms.
And vaping.
Grandpa's getting dirty.
He's blowing smoke rings.
Honestly, that'd be sick.
Yeah, it's just out
there. No longer down with Trump, it's fuck Trump.
Oh, Grandpa's getting his high on his own power.
Unhinged.
Cool, buddy. That's tight, Robert De Niro. And like that, Merrick Garland is a Supreme Court justice. Shout outs to you.
Who do we think this is rallying, guys? Do we think there are people who are on the fence about whether to back Trump, or who were on the fence about how opposed to Trump they were, who are now like on board with La Resistance?
Yeah. Just stop.
I like Robert honestly can't imagine a single hypothetical human being. Yeah. I mean, maybe there are people who are more locked into, you know, Robert De Niro's stance on politics.
Well, especially if you're watching the Tonys, too.
But even then.
I mean, that's very specific.
But it feels like a moment that would have been dreamed up by Matt Drudge, Vladimir Putin, and Charles Koch as like a perfect way to rally their base to vote Republican.
Right.
Because it's a nothing statement. There's no argument. Doesn't touch on any salient issue, unlike, you know, when Trump gets people mad about the fucking flag or whatever, NFL players. But from a liberal perspective, there's nothing salient there. And from the conservative perspective, it touches on the salient issue, which is how the immoral elites are trying to, like, hold them down. Mm-hmm. And he said it in a fucking tuxedo at an award show and said it in words that would offend a good Christian person. So
also what's with it's no longer down with Trump? Like before, yes, we were like, hey, you know how we in the
all
streets
the kids are,
like,
are saying down with Trump.
Down with Trump. Okay, Bobby.
Uh-huh.
I will say, like, okay, so you're a nut in a tuxedo getting a Tony, but you think that these times are not normal and maybe this president should be told fuck you. It's weird, it's misplaced, but, like, times aren't normal, and I'm glad that some speeches aren't just like, I really loved being in the union this year, thank you very much for my award. Like, yeah, it's unusual, and, like, it's an award show, so it's an odd place to make a political statement when you are not a political figure, but he's not a political figure, and he's not on some kind of press tour to be one. Like, he's not on trying to go on CNN every night to make fuck Trump his platform for some kind of other agenda. He just had to do a speech and was like, you know what? Fuck this guy.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that it helps on a grander scale, but because shit isn't normal, sometimes like, yeah, okay, thanks. Yeah, all right, dirty grandpa guy. He's had many more acclaimed films in his career, but I keep going back to that.
No, that's the
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. It's not good, but I'm...
No, it's just like one of those things that, of course, it's more probably for the reaction that will happen with conservative writers, bloggers.
Yeah. If he had come out with an incredibly articulate speech that he had given, with policy, like, you know, if in the 60 seconds he had, he managed to list out 5 bullet points that could move us forward successfully on some executive and like a legislative level, terrific. But nobody who it doesn't agree with him is watching the tone. Nobody, it wouldn't have reached the audience. Like,
right.
I don't think Republicans are going to be, just like nobody's being convinced by De Niro saying, fuck Trump. Nobody's being convinced on the other side that, like, oh, the Tonys are on our side. Like, I'm watching the Tonys to figure out if I should maybe lean left when I vote in 2018, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
It's higher up on conservative outlets than it is on liberal ones, it seems to me. Like, it is the second story in the left-hand margin on Drudge Report today. So it just seems like, first of all, I do not object to the content of his message.
Sure.
Just from a strategic perspective, and this might be just letting them define the grounds that we, like, view political statements along in, but... From a strategic perspective, the thing that you hear conservatives complain a lot about is, like, Hollywood elites, and, like, specifically raise the idea of, like, award shows, like, mm-hmm. giving their speeches at award shows. And I don't know.
No, I guess Galen has a point, because really all that's going to happen is the people on both sides of it, on the extreme ends, are just going to get more entrenched in their thinking either way. So does this really do anything for the swing voter type person?
I guess just the whole advantage that Democrats are counting on in the midterms is enthusiasm and like rallying the base and people being motivated to vote. And you're right. This is not going to do anything. But we're a daily podcast. We need content, you know?
So I think making art about it can do something.
Yes.
Okay,
I agree.
So you're the guy who gets up at the award show and like, fuck Trump, was no longer down. Like, you're not a political speechwriter, but you've long been a brilliant performer and you're respected for it. If there's a piece of art that speaks to that sentiment, make it. Make it for free. Make it tomorrow. Pay the director. You're fucking rich enough. Just make it.
Right.
If you find yourself in this position where you are the Hollywood elite, congratulations, by the way, do you want to hire me? It's just frustrating, like, if that's the way you feel, and if the criticism is, it is apt, like, you're in a dazzly gown or a fancy suit that's tailored telling me how to live my life, but they watch your art and they're moved by it, so make the art that speaks that. If you're no good at speaking it, you're great at making the art. Right. Just do that, do that, keep doing that. Jurassic World's going to be great, but take all that money and makes, I don't know if any of the stars Jurassic Park would get up and say, fuck you. And I'm not speaking for anyone else. I just picked a Jurassic World as an example.
Right.
Not
I mean, part, I think Jurassic it's just Park an allegory about socialism in the United States, right?
Isn't everything?
Yeah. Just like it was an
Jurassic
experiment.
World?
It could have, a potential experiment gone horribly awry.
Yeah. Is anybody else watching Westworld? I just noticed that Westworld has the same plot as Jurassic Park, the first Jurassic Park.
Same author.
Yeah, same author. And I was like, oh, this is going in the same direction as
no spoilers,
Jurassic
dude.
Park.
I haven't seen it. I don't know. I don't want to know that there's dinosaurs in Westworld.
Yeah, that's, so then the T-Rex comes and saves them all at the end. Let's talk about the G7, soon to potentially be the G6, or if Trump has his way, the G8. So Trump just came at the G7 with a certain kind of energy. He was
that's generous.
Arms folded. Feet stomping sort of energy. So his main complaints were the standard tariff ones. Also, amazingly, he complained that Russia should be invited back to the meeting. And I don't know.
It was baffling. Everyone
it was
like,
really
huh?
confusing because he didn't even really like give a justification other than that they're a big
power player.
Yeah,
because he doesn't know what the G7 is, because he doesn't know what fucking NATO is. He doesn't know why Russia isn't in the G8 anymore. He doesn't have any idea. That's like recent history. Yeah. Like, it's not crazy long ago. It's recent enough that it would have affected businesses of his in the region. Like, somebody around him had whatever.
I spent a lot of time over the weekend looking for somebody to explain to me, like, okay, I'm a conservative and I'm not part of Trump's, you know, inner circle. And here's why this makes sense, because you want Russia there for da da da. No, it was like the only thing people really said was Russia's a player in this world. So, you know, they should be at the table.
They have money also.
Right.
So, you know, I guess.
But they keep invading neighbors.
Right.
There's this very polite thing you're supposed to do is civilize and not invade your neighbors.
Right. Which is why there's no real actual talking point, because on the surface, you're like, that's an absurd idea.
Right.
And I think there was even a quote, like someone asked Putin about that. He was like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
Right. Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah. He's like, thanks, Donald, for trying to prove your worth to me. But there are limits to kissing my ass.
Right.
That's like having a your neighbor. You have a fence separating you. One of your neighbors just hangs out riding a bear and sharpening knives with his shirt off.
Yep.
And then the other neighbor is a 71-year-old bloated golfer who's having a barbecue, some guests over. Like, why isn't Knifey here anymore?
Right.
Every other guest knows why fucking Knifey bear shirtless guy is not invited to the barbecue guy anymore.
His bear bit my daughter's leg off.
Over the fence, Knifey bear guy's just sharpening knives. Meanwhile, you can't see the million people he has in an army uniform in his basement just ready for the next, quote, Barbie. I can't wait.
He's looking over the fence. Who's over there? Justin, Angela,
I'm
good.
Hard pass.
Fuck them. Just need my bear.
But just generally, I think the whole G7 summit can be summed up in meme form.
Oh, this picture is beautiful.
So there's the picture from the G7 summit that kind of summed everything up, with Trump sitting on one side of the table with his arms folded while the other leaders are kind of leaning over a table trying to get something out of him. There are great photoshopped versions of that picture where he's holding onto a teddy bear, where he's in one of those little like red and yellow play
like, yeah, toys. Like a Little Tykes car.
Little Tykes car, yeah. But my favorite is this piece of dialogue writing. Merkel, Donald, I need you to listen. Can you do that?
Uh-huh.
This is really important, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I need you to be honest with me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Donald, look at me. Now, did you swallow the quarter or is it still in your mouth?
I'm not telling.
It's crazy. Shinzo Abe looks like he's given up on life in that photo. It looks like his eyes are about to roll back into his head. And it looks like, I think, John Bolton and Macron are just screaming at each other. So great. Our greatest nightmares have been realized, where John Bolton actually is among these world leaders and speaking on behalf of the American people.
And it's like a moderate voice.
Yeah. Oy, boy.
I really liked the direct line to The Simpsons that came from that meme from the Cape Fear episode where Homer has to go into witness relocation and an FBI agent is patiently but losing patience and trying to explain to Homer that he has a new name, Mr. Thompson. Now, when I say hello, Mr. Thompson, and press down on your foot, you smile and nod. No problem. Hello, Mr. Thompson. I think he's talking to you.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't go well. You know, at first, like you said, he came in hot, just attacking everybody. And he came late. He missed the women's empowerment lunch. And it just was like making a scene the whole time.
There's a reason that strategy works in business. Where you're the richest, fattiest, flabbiest, hottest guy in the room. You blow the hardest gas. And there's something about you that is hard to stop and annoy. And the way it works is overwhelming. It works in small groups. It works in businesses.
Zero-sum games.
Other businesses.
Yes.
Diplomacy is built to make that go nowhere.
Right.
Diplomacy is almost an answer to how fast those people can move unrestricted in like most economic or most other social systems. This isn't going to fly. You don't just get to come into the room, hot air and gas.
Yeah,
right.
Fuck you, bro. Fuck you. And be like, wow, that guy's tough. Like, sorry, honey.
No, now everyone's like, this guy's an
asshole.
Now
we're quietly filling out forms and ruining you. Like, this is.
Yeah,
it makes sense in zero-sum
games where you're like, you know, you get something, they lose something, you lose something, they get something, because you can like bully people into doing stuff. Diplomacy and the entire thing that has made the world a better place year after year for the past, you know, 100 years is progress, and it is diplomacy.
Yes.
It's people, you know, both giving something and everyone's lives getting way better. Like, and he's only accustomed to this very specific way of operating in an international relations scenario. And it's the way that people operated like before the 20th century, everything was just war.
Not to so deeply oversimplify, but after the end of World War I, we really punished the losers because we were winners. And we just slapped them with our dick, and we could.
Yeah.
And it didn't go well.
Right.
And the result was this sort of nationalist, fascist, not-so-good uprising that wound up re-sparking a bunch of colonialist problems and then causing another huge, old, terrible war. So
that's
after
what
Nazi's
short for, not-so-good.
Yes, thank you. It is. I forget that sometimes. But when that war ended, we're like, maybe we shouldn't slap everybody with our dick. That didn't go
maybe
so well.
Last time.
We shouldn't. But our memories are so short that we don't remember why we did anything. We don't remember why our friends are our friends. We don't remember why those friendships are important because we don't remember what happens when we're all fighting.
Yeah.
Right.
Dum-dum-dum.
By the way, the quarter thing, I just need to say, was from Nancy Hetzel on Twitter.
That was very funny, Nancy.
Very well done. So now we are staring down the barrel of what I'm calling the Wing It More in Singapore.
Wow.
I like that. Well done.
It feels like we need
Howard
a Rumble
Cosell
in the Jungle,
here.
Thrilla Manila style thing, because that's how it's being treated by the media and Trump. And that was the best I could come up with. So apologies. But
No, that was sincere.
I like it.
I was not making fun of
it.
If that clap came off as insincere, I want to put on the record that I really like that.
All compliments to me.
Let the record show that was enthusiastic
and sarcastic. Caleb liked that con. Yep. Let it be noted.
So by the time most people listen to this, this will be over. So what can we talk about in the lead up to this that is, you know, is evergreen, Miles.
It's good to know that, well, for starters, to know that his schedule is basically to get there, meet with Kim Jong-un, and then get the fuck out pretty quickly. Like, he's only going to be there for, like, I think 11 hours past the initial meeting. So the way it's supposed to go, they're meeting at 9 a.m., which is very soon, about 6 hours from when we record this right now. They're going to meet at 9. They're going to do some walk-around photos, do a little photo shoot, like prom 2018 type shit. Then they're going to do a one-on-one, just full-on you and me and translators only sit down.
That's so bad.
Where who That's knows so where, bad. Where that goes.
That is so very
and, so bad for us.
And then they go into more traditional bilateral talks with like the cabinet members.
Oh, my chest got just, my chest is tight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's, the way he's saying it, but even, I don't know, it seems like there's some strategy of basically like not agreeing to anything because Trump is just like, this is more of like get to meet them. Like,
we legitimately have never needed a porn star more.
Right. Yeah.
She could save the world just by standing in the room. They probably wouldn't even touch. She'd just have to pee in a cup or like dance in a circle. I'll do it, but they're not interested. That's why you need a porn star. They're so good at it. They could literally save the world right
They're
now.
So good at peeing and stuff.
Oh, no, they're just so good at understanding people and manipulating their base system impulses and emotions. They're geniuses. They see right through you. They know exactly what you need. They give it to you. They leave having given you nothing of themselves. They are wizards.
So,
or they did give you something of themselves, and in that case, they really deserve our love and support.
Yes.
The one thing that's not going to change, no matter how this meeting goes, is how President Trump is preparing for it. So
it's a generous word that you chose.
He's
prepared.
He said about that one-on-one meeting, he will know in a minute how the meeting is going to go. A reporter asked, how? And he said, touch, feel. It's what I do.
Like he's going to grope him?
Yeah.
So, I cannot wait.
So this
first
is...
I'm going to go, I'm going to give him a good ball squeeze. Mm-hmm. That'll let him know who's boss. Inspect him like a show dog.
Oh, he comes away from the Chinese meeting wondering if Xi Jinping likes him.
Right.
And saying he thinks they're friends. And China comes away startled and a little shaken at how simplistic his worldview seems to be. So that's how when he just goes in and is like, yo, I'm going to just
use
my natural business person charisma and complete lack of preparation to, you know, just feel this guy out. That's where we end up. So I don't know. We will see. I don't think we're going to come away and there's going to be a definitive answer where he like walks out and it's like they've denuclearized.
No, I think some people suspect that they will maybe sign something to commemorate the summit just because it'll give them the optics of a win. So it could just be something like, hey, we hereby declare that we agree on most shit.
Yep.
Going forward. And then that way, you know, Trump can be like, you know, wave the flag and be like, you know, has someone to hang his hat on, which effectively won't have any real progress. But, you know, Mike Pompeo is saying things are going very well and things are accelerating at a speed that he didn't anticipate.
No acceleration. I want nothing to accelerate. None of those words. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm very nervous.
People on the left keep saying, on all sides, but even on the left keep saying, he's gotten farther than any of his predecessors when it comes to North Korea. I heard that literally on NPR this morning.
NPR is driving me bananas.
His predecessors were not willing to risk what he's about to risk. That's it. This is a huge risk. There's so much on the line for this one individual meeting, and that is why nobody has done this before. He's just putting way too much in the balance for it to be advisable. Now, who the fuck knows how it's going to go, but he has not gotten further. He is willing to risk more than any of his predecessors, and that needs to be the way that we talk about it no matter what happens, I feel like.
Yeah, gotten farther is such a crazy thing. Yeah, a lot of people got closer and closer to a cliff. What happens? That's when you fall off of it.
Right.
Yeah. Other predecessors had the wisdom to recognize the cliff, and they just didn't fall off of it. This isn't some brave, bold move. He's not, I don't know. This is, it's a dictator talking to a dictator. Fox News said it, so I get to it.
I know.
You know, he's not doing this. Him doing anything about North Korea or denuclearization has nothing to do with weapons, safety, or nuclear security. It has to do a little bit with Obama, but mostly it's this like, I'm going to use, it's a dick-to-dick thing again.
Yeah.
He just sees this other player in the news. He sees this like wild card dude, and he wants to come for him.
Yeah,
there's no other, there's no deeper motivation. It has nothing to do, he's never read any of the... It makes me so.
Well, that just, and just like the obviously. Hot takes he's getting from John Bolton, just going into it. I mean, there are other like there are other analysts who kind of also wonder if this could be the beginnings of like overtures of friendship because
absolutely
to pry North Korea away from China's influence.
Yes,
and then
yes.
align North Korea with the United States to be like, aha, see now that's how we're gonna get China because you know a lot of people note that China and Korea have been sort of historically unfriendly over the years. Like, you know, a lot of Korean people still remember the Chinese invasion of the 5th century, whereas like the U.S. is more of just like a new enemy mm-hmm. historically for them. So, you know, there are other people saying that for Kim Jong-un, being aligned with the U.S. seems like a better thing to him than China because they're the bigger power to him and offer more opportunity in terms of like being normalized, but
I
don't know.
There's people smart enough around Trump to realize and take advantage of that, but I don't think it's him, Trump himself. Yeah.
No, not at all, not at all. But there have been a lot of things being said, like, oh, we can make security assurances, whatever that means. A lot of people were asking, like, wait, is this a complete change in policy? Does that mean taking our troops off the peninsula? Does that mean changing the umbrella of protection that we have for the allies? Like, what does that mean? Does it mean we won't seek regime change? So clearly, there is going to be some, the U.S. is going to bring something to try and get something out of this,
right.
But will it happen now? Will it happen soon?
In international relations circles, what's seen as one of the biggest blunders of the past 20 years is America being overly optimistic that by introducing elements of market economy into the Chinese bloodstream, that we were going to see them open up and become less of a dictatorship
right.
and, you know, just... Capitalism was It'll going to work
thing.
Its magic. And it seems like we're addicted to this optimism that we're going to be able to convert these communist countries and like pry them apart and like make them like us better than they like other communist dictatorships. And I think that would be my concern if this were an informed president going into this
right.
is like, it seems like we're maybe a little too rosy on this idea that, he's going to, once he talks to us,
he's going to love it. He's going to wear Nikes.
We're going to talk about like him having a McDonald's there yeah. and he's going to, meanwhile,
so
they've met like secretly like 2-3 times, like yeah. Xi Jinping and Kim Jong-un. So like they are on the same page.
It's also that our economy and our capitalist miracle depends on the labor from nations that we're trying to then introduce elements of capitalism for. Tired
right.
of being enslaved? Enslave someone else.
Yeah.
It, like,
right.
it doesn't make any sense.
It's a pyramid scam, yeah.
Yeah, that I live next to three incredibly well-stocked dollar stores. I understand what end-stage capitalism looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing to sustain our ability to buy, create, or sell this stuff. It's fading. It's not going to work
right.
the way they think it will. That's Ooh. So funny. Yeah, let's get dollar stores in China. Then you can just walk directly out of the factory where you made the fidget spinner and get yourself the fidget spinner.
Right. Right, exactly. And you pay with a fidget spinner.
Exactly.
And well, with that vision for the Chinese economy, we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And just real quick, the Supreme Court has backed a bill?
Well, it's Ohio's policy, the use it or lose it policy to, you know, essentially suppressing votes. So, you know, they have a policy where if you don't vote over 2 years, they'll send you like a card, be like, hey, you haven't voted, you know, check in with us so you don't get kicked off the voter rolls. So, you know, check in. And then essentially what happens is most people don't check in, then they purge your name from the voter roll. So then you go to vote and magically you're not registered anymore. So, you know, for I think it was Alito who wrote the opinion was basically saying it doesn't technically take away your right to vote because it's in response to you not responding to these other things. Therefore, it's okay. Again, this is what happens when Mitch McConnell steals a fucking Supreme Court seat from you. You get decisions like this, and everybody knows this policy particularly hits minorities and poorer citizens. And yeah, in certain areas, like it's just a very blatant way to keep people from voting. So, you know, I know Sotomayor, I think in her dissenting opinion, may have touched on ways to get around this. But yeah, it's it'll probably have a lot of other states looking going, so this is a way to do this.
In other more important news, Kanye has bestowed two great works of culture onto us. Kids See Ghosts came out on Friday. It's good. But more importantly, guys, the Kardashians and the Wests appeared on a Celebrity Family Feud last night. As we're recording this, Kanye seemed happy, which was nice.
I think the word is manic.
It was, I don't know, just watching the commercials for it, I was instantly like, this feels so set up and artificial and just weird. Just like a PR thing. But, okay, I don't know.
It makes sense that, like, on the same weekend that he's released a good album, like the thing people are talking about the next day is that he was on Family Feud, because that seems to be what is happening. His weird kind of manic celebrity persona is just swallowing the artist. And but guys, the blogs say that Kendall Jenner shaded Trump by saying that she wouldn't want to have group sex with him, I think was how
what?
That worked. It was like, it's a wild party. Everyone is naked. Name someone you would hate to see show up. And she said Trump.
That is a solid answer, though.
Burn.
See? Hey, Bobby De Niro, take some fucking notes, my guy.
Boom, there it is,
buddy. That's how
you
burn his ass. You know what I mean?
And then the most, but we always like to end with the most important story.
Please.
So the English-speaking world has continued to reveal our weird public pooping fetish slash habit. A driver has defecated on a man in a road rage incident.
I'm sorry, how?
I don't know.
That is an accomplishment.
I don't know how the physics work on that, but that
is it a catch and release?
I think it must be, right?
Okay.
I think it must be like the Tim Hortonian angry ape flinging
poo
as opposed to the, you know, the secret I made a boom boom and everybody must know my shame, variety that we get from public pooping joggers. But this is an epidemic we're seeing, guys.
I feel like throwing shit. I'm reading the article. It says that Henry George Weaver of New Tripoli faces a harassment charge after he allegedly defecated on the victim. I feel like shitting on someone, there should probably be something a little bit higher than harassment. If it's involving shit. I don't know if that's just like my own germophobia type thing. I'm like, that feels like a real crime.
Yes.
Poo-based harassment should not be taken lightly.
Yeah. Public endangerment, maybe? Because it's
dirty. Who knows?
Ugh. It's not good. I worked in a coffee shop for a long time, and people need to shit there because you just gave them a shit accelerant. So it is totally fair.
Yes.
It was reasonable to have to clean the bathroom on a regular basis. You would encounter some other human's poo, and it was gross, and you dealt with it. Mm-hmm. But occasionally, there was the aggressive human. More than once, I had to clean shit off of walls. Walls! Identifiable fingerprints. It was on Market Street in the Castro in San Francisco. Okay. A lot happens there. But it's... cleaning human poo, even though I think you should never feel shame if you have to take a poop wherever you are, poop in a public bathroom.
Come on, buddy.
It's hard. Never shame someone who is pooping next to you, especially in an airport, anywhere. Everybody poops, let them poop. Let them poop in peace. But if you do something aggressive with your poop, feel deep shame.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't. Yes.
If you have to shit as powerfully as you need to, blast a stream, wherever you are, you need to shit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, what you decide to do next with that shit is dispose of it responsibly.
Yes.
That is the only choice you should make with your poop after that.
Mm-hmm. Don't put anybody at risk, as Jesus would
say. If you're really mad and on the road and obviously had to shit.
Right.
That's how I don't understand how you can be defecated upon. Like, if he's like, you fucking stay right there, man.
Right. And
I
do not
say
roll this window up.
We're going
to
play Santa.
I have to get a magazine or maybe Bejeweled.
Yeah, right. Like, what the fuck? I don't, whatever. I'm sure we'll find out.
Yes. I'm sure there will be some sort of dash cam video. Maybe just a passing car see.
Just
it's
one
like
frame.
Like the Zapruder film.
Yeah.
Jesus. Caitlin.
That's me.
Major.
That's her. Hey, Major.
It has been
Major, speak.
A pleasure
speak.
Having both of you.
Speak. Good job.
Yeah.
There she is. Where can people find you?
At Robot Caitlin on Twitter, at Caitlin Is Tall on Instagram, and www.CaitlinGillComedy. Just guess how to spell it. The internet will figure it out for you. You can just find me if you're in Los Angeles, June 28th at the Hollywood Improv for Caitlin's Lab Oratory. Come on by.
One of the funniest stand-ups working. You guys should really check it out. Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, Twitter and Instagram, at Miles of Gray.
Miles
of
Gray.
I'm there.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on, Miles.
Yeah.
What are we going to listen to?
I'm in a dark mood because you know what? Dennis Rodman just touched down in Singapore with his potcoin weed-based cryptocurrency t-shirt.
Wait, really?
And
no!
hat on. Yep, he was rocking the crypto, the potcoin, as we thought, because they were going to sponsor the trip.
Right.
He's there, and he's talking like he already knows what's going to happen.
Like an undercard boxer.
I don't like this simulation.
Yes,
this is a bad simulation.
Also,
guys,
let's think about it. We know Kim Jong-un is a huge Chicago Bulls fan. Today is the 21st anniversary of the flu game, Michael
as
Jordan's
we all
flu
know.
Game.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of Bulls energy happening around. There's something about this that's weird. So, fittingly, this song is called Cousins of the Antichrist by Chelsea Wolfe. It's just a very moody, somber acoustic track. But, you know, I like it. It's enjoyable. And I just feel like it encapsulates the mood right now. So, shout outs to all the cousins of the Antichrist that are descending on Singapore right now.
Have fun at Thanksgiving.
So many cousins. All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then.
Bye.
Hiding everywhere, watching as we let our guard down, smiling as we eat their lies. Ooh. Ooh. Cousins of the Antichrist, we're feeding their ways, light eyes and dark minds. my Christ, don't look me in the eye. Dirty mind, crooked spine, but heart is pure, heart is in love.
Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.